May I speak in the name of the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Just a few days ago, back on Thursday, the church remembered the Ascension, which was when we believe that the resurrected Jesus departed and was reunited with God the Father. Looking ahead to next Sunday, that's Pentecost, and there we will remember God sending the Holy Spirit to be with us. So for now, for today and for the upcoming week, we're in a bit of an in-between time between the Ascension and Pentecost. Today, though, we're presented with a gospel reading from just prior to Jesus' death. It's part of a larger speech that Jesus gave called the Farewell Discourse. And this speech occurred on the same night as the Last Supper. And really, it functions as an extended prayer by Jesus to God the Father. There are a few key takeaways from this, so here we go. First, in this passage, Jesus is in a time of intense pressure. He knows that his own friends are about to betray him. He knows that the authorities are soon going to come after him. He is concluding his years of ministry on earth, no doubt fearful about what was to come next. And what do we find Jesus doing? We find Jesus praying. We find Jesus praying incessantly, praying as though it was all that he had left, because at that point, it was. His fate was sealed, but he knew that he could count on God being with him every step of the way. Now, I know Jesus was himself God. Don't get caught up in the Trinitarian theology of how all this works. The point is that Jesus was praying. Jesus was praying. This, of course, wasn't a new activity for Jesus. The scriptures report that Jesus was a man of deep prayer throughout his life, at every high point, at every low point, and at every point in between. Now, it should come as no surprise to you today that a priest is urging you to pray. But there's a reason for that. The reason is that we all need to be reminded to pray. I know I do. Sometimes I forget to. I'm too tired to. I'm too lazy to. Sometimes I'm not even sure what to say. I suspect you may have similar experiences. As Christians, though, we are to do our best to imitate Christ in word and in deed. And that includes in our prayers, both in our private prayers during the week and in attending public prayers, whenever and wherever the church gathers. In both Matthew and Luke's Gospels, when the disciples ask Jesus to pray, he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer I'm sure many of us are quite familiar with. We'll say it later today in this service. John's Gospel, on the other hand, it doesn't include any mention of the Lord's Prayer. John gives us a different model of Jesus at prayer. We heard a bit of it today. So perhaps this might function as a bit of a model for us to pray for ourselves. First, in the prayer we heard read just a bit ago, Jesus prays for himself. Secondly, he prays for the people closest to him, for his family, for his friends, for his followers. And finally, he prays for the whole world. Self, friends, world. If you're looking for a model of how to pray and what to pray about, it's a pretty good one. Self, friends, world. The second main takeaway for us today is that Jesus leads the way for us. He goes ahead of us to prepare the way. Where Jesus goes, we go too. With the ascension, the point is not really that Jesus goes up or ascends into heaven. The point is that Jesus goes to be with God, which is where he came from. And as he does so, he takes all of us with him. Remember, Part of Jesus' crucial work as Messiah is reconciling all of creation with God, making us one with God, just as we were in the beginning. Jesus, quite literally having bridged the gap between God and humanity during his time on earth, now takes us back to be with God and with him. Jesus goes to God a changed person. He's no longer the innocent baby born in Bethlehem. His resurrected body bears deeply the wounds of his life and death, of his crucifixion and burial. And yet, Jesus is worthy to go back to God, demonstrating that we too, bearing all the wounds and scars of our own lives, are worthy to reside with God forever. My third and final takeaway for us is related to this. Jesus came to fight separations. Jesus came to fight the separation of God and humanity. He came to fight the separation of God and creation. He came to fight the separation of humanity and creation. One of the unfortunate ways that this gospel passage has been used over the years is to convince people that the world is an evil place, and that the best we can do is get through it, to muddle our way through it, and then eventually receive eternal life. On the other extreme, we must not think that we are obligated to solve all of the world's problems, to carry all of that weight on our shoulders. Neither of these ways are particularly useful. Instead, what I think Christ is making clear in this passage is that we are called to live in the world, which is a gift from God. If you will recall, all of creation was created by God and was given to us. And God called all of creation good. God called it very good. Now, yes, evil is a very real thing in the world, and we must make no peace with evil schemes. But the world itself is not evil. It is good. And we are invited to join Christ in reconciling the whole world back towards the good, to God. What I've just outlined is a middle way, a healthy way, I hope. Yet neither denies the reality that evil exists, yet it does not lay the entire burden of taking care of all the world's problems on our shoulders. That work is Christ's work. It's the work that Christ was sent to do, and it's the work that Christ continues to do and will do until the end of time. We are invited simply to take our share in that work, to do what we can during our time on earth, remembering that only God can bring it to completion. So, my friends, three takeaways for us today. First, say your prayers. Second, have confidence that Jesus has fully and truly taken us up into God's life through the resurrection and ascension. And third, remember that the world is good. Yes, with a lot of issues. And Christ invites us into that work of restoring the world. But we don't bear that burden all ourselves. Though Christ might not physically be with us anymore, God is with us. Christ is with us always through the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll hear a lot more about that next week. I invite you to join us for our 11 o'clock service outside to hear more about that as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost next Sunday. We'll spend the whole day reflecting on the Holy Spirit and what that means for us. With that, my friends, and in the spirit of my first point of prayer, let us pray a prayer from Ascension Day. Almighty God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, Mercifully give us faith to perceive that, according to his promise, he abides with his church on earth, even to the end of the ages. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.